Welcome to the See You Next Summer podcast. I'm your host, Billy Pollahan, and with me, as always, is the Chewy to my Han, and we have a special guest with us. He is a co-host of A Certain Point of View, the best Schmodown after show. He is a teacher and all-around badass, Mr. Brian Avalsino.
Hello, hello.
Hi, guys.
I love it. So if you guys are Chewie and Han, who do I get to be?
Leia? Lando.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're giving me that much credit to be Lando? Okay, I'll take Lando. All right, I was going to go with Darth Vader, but all right, I'll take Lando.
Nice.
Well, thanks for having me on, you guys.
Oh, no, thank you.
Oh, no, thank you, thank you. I'm excited.
And before we continue, I just want to ask, how did you get involved in Star Wars? I know that a lot of people don't know this, but you haven't seen most movies. You had a very strange upbringing. Would you care to explain that?
No, not so much. I've seen every movie. I want to say I was probably more... I'm trying to think when I saw the first ones. It was a little bit later, I feel like, for me. Because I know I saw Phantom in theater. So nice. That means that I would have had to have seen it before 99, which is 10. So I probably was maybe like 8 or 9 when I first saw them. And I remember... the first time that I can like vividly remember seeing the movies, it was when my family went on a vacation to a cabin, and the people in the cabin just had the movies there that we were renting from. And I'm like, oh, these are kind of cool. And that's all I did. I was like, yeah. You guys go do whatever you want. I'm going to sit here and watch these movies. So nice. That was my first like original. And then from there, I've just seen every, I think all of them in theaters. The only one I'm questioning is maybe Menace. I know I saw 2 because I remember freaking out when Yoda uses lightsaber. I'm sure I saw Phantom Menace in theater, but I just do not remember that seeing it in theater. So maybe not that one, but the rest I've seen in theater for sure.
Nice.
Yeah. So
What is your favorite?
My favorite movie is actually A New Hope.
Yes! Thank you, Brian! Yes,
I will say up until recently, maybe like the last year or two, Empire was my favorite. Mm. But until like recently, I think I just kind of love the like just pure like made from scratch that the first one is. It's just like, it's, I don't know, it's just like so classic, which Empire is too, but like this is, that one's the one that, A New Hope is the one that kicked the whole thing off. So I don't know, I'm sure at some point I'll waver maybe back to Empire, but right now it's for sure A New Hope.
Nice.
Billy, I'm assuming by the silence yours is Empire.
Yeah, he's
actually Brian. No, it's not. It's also A New Hope. I just wanted to let you speak.
Oh, okay. So we're all A New Hopers. Okay, cool. I like that.
Yeah. I'm very proud of you.
Oh, thank you. Yes. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. And so let us begin our recap. It is a dark time for the Rebellion. Although the Death Star has been destroyed, Imperial troops have driven the Rebel forces from the hidden base and pursued them across the galaxy. Evading the dreaded Imperial Starfleet, a group of freedom fighters led by Luke Skywalker has established a new secret base on the remote ice world of Hoth. The evil Lord Darth Vader, obsessed with finding young Skywalker, has dispatched thousands of remote probes into the far reaches of space. You know, and we get the da 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 da.
I was waiting. I was like, is he going to sing? I don't know. I'll let it go. Okay. Yeah, that one, that's one of the more mysterious crawls. Mm-hmm. Like, it gives a little suspense in it. And obviously, Vader's name being used in it. So, Yeah.
Also, the word obsession, and I'm like, I never noticed that. I'm seeing the Empire so many times, I'm like, never noticed that before.
It's funny, actually, you just said that, and I just went, wait, is it really? And I just, I didn't even catch it until you just said that. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of those things where I've seen it so many times and that I just, it's just like, okay. Almost to the point where I don't even look at the crawl anymore.
Yeah, that's a good thing about rewatching a lot of like movies. You notice little details that you never noticed before.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, you have no idea. I'll give a little behind the scenes. So, for Schmodown, I help Sean and Molly study for Star Wars, and I write questions for them. And I've got over 1,000 questions written for them. Mm-hmm. I'm not even exaggerating that number. I literally have over 1,000. And it's funny because when you do that and you, I'm telling you, like, it's snail's pace that I'm watching this. You catch so many things that you've never noticed before watching it on subtitles, like looking for every number that comes on the screen, every weird word or anything. And you're just like, oh, I've never noticed that before. And it's actually kind of a cool way to do it because it takes me about 4 to 6 hours to get through a whole entire movie writing them questions. So it's literally like dissecting the movie while doing it. It's kind of fun, honestly. So if you really have that much time and you're bored, try doing that because you will find some things that you've never noticed.
No. Yeah, and for those of you that don't know, the Sean and Molly he's talking about are Molly Damon from Star Wars Explained. She's the best, and hope she comes on the show. And Sean Sullivan, who is in the Schmodown, and I also hope he comes on the show someday.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure no, Billy, you know what we should do? Like the thing that Brian said, we should kind of like do like a lot of questions the way that we dissect Gravity Falls.
Oh, I know. You guys dissect Gravity Falls, too. That's basically... Imagine doing that with a 2-hour long movie. It takes forever. It is fun, though. I will say, like, I usually don't do it all in a day just because it's, like, so mundane. But it is kind of fun picking things apart and finding new things that you haven't noticed, especially... In the subtitles, there's so many like background voices that you hear that come up in the subtitles, but you never even hear it on screen. You're like, wait a minute. I've never heard that before. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's kind of fun. It is interesting. I will say that.
I will agree with that. And so we cut to immediately the first shot is of a Star Destroyer, and it's putting out some Imperial probes. Which that's some new stuff. We get Imperial a ton of new probe stuff. Droids.
I love those. Okay, I had a toy. I love the Imperial probe droid because of that noise that Billy just made. And it, whenever you used to like push a button on it, the toy's head would pop off and explode. Ooh. And yeah, fun fact, Billy or Raul, how many probe droids get launched out of the Star Destroyer?
Two.
Hmm. No, I think it's 4.
If you do Raul's answer times Billy's answer, then you would have the correct answer, which is 8.
6.
Ooh. Oh, 8.
Yeah. Shit. So, go ahead. Sorry. That's like one of the questions I remember. So, I probably won't be able to do it anymore, but that was the one I was like, hey, let's see if I can get them on it. Okay, continue, Billy.
So one of the probe droids crashes on Hoth or cold, and then we see Luke Skywalker, and he looks completely different because at that time Mark Hamill got into a boating accident.
I think it's a car accident.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, but he had to get reconstructive surgery on his face.
Yeah.
So that's why he looks very different.
Weirdly enough, I didn't know about this until like last year. Really? I just was like. Oh, maybe they messed up his face or something. I don't know how that avoided me for like 30 years, but I literally, someone said it the other day and I was like, wait, what? And like, I don't know. So it's You would think I would know that, but no, that's a new fact to me within the last year, I'll say.
You never stop learning with Star Wars.
No, yeah, never.
If I'm correct, I think that they acknowledged the accident in Empire of Dreams, I think.
Oh, maybe.
It's been a while since we've seen that documentary.
Yeah.
I've never seen it. So you are up on me on one, Raul.
Watch it on Disney Plus. Really good.
I'll have to.
Or if you have the 2004 special edition DVD.
Yes.
They have it on there.
I definitely have those too, so I can watch it on that.
Those are the editions that I grew up with.
I literally have VHS copies, I have DVD copies and Blu-ray copies, and I'm sure at some point I'll freaking have the 4K and then whatever the next one after that will be.
Nice. It's the same for me.
Yeah. Never get tired of them.
So Luke goes to check it out, and his Tauntaun, which is amazing, gets scared, and he gets attacked by a Wampa, or the Cookie Monster, if you watch the Family Guy parodies.
Yes.
Cookie Monster. Good old Cookie Monster.
Yes. So then Han comes back, and we see the Rebel base. It's very much like the first movie, where they're barely holding it together. There's not many of them. A lot of breath mints on the officers.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
I mean, they look like like Tic Tacs.
Yeah, I'll give you that. And this is gonna look like Tic Tacs.
And Billy, and they're still holding on, and they will not let go.
Oh my god!
No. Yes,
get out, get out. He uses that quote all the time.
Oh goodness! I always thought the Wampa was the Abominable Snowman from Matterhorn Mountain.
Oh!
I always, like, until I was, like, actually still partially kind of feel like that's where they got the look for them at, because if you look at it when you're riding Matterhorn, it's pretty similar.
Mm-hmm.
So, just saying.
It could be the guy from Monster Inc.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, Sully.
No, not Sully. Not the other guy.
The other Abominable Snowman.
Yeah, the one that makes snow questionable cones. Lemonade snow cones.
Yes.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because if you aren't paying attention, it's a blink and you'll miss it cameo from John Ratzenberger
as one of the
Rebel Soldiers.
Are you gonna throw Sean under the bus right now?
Maybe since, not.
Since he didn't
Sean would destroy me.
No, that's one of Sean's questions he missed. He put Ratzenberg. Not rats and burger.
It's all about the semantics.
It is. Got to add an ER.
All right. But Han goes to say that he's got to go because he ran into a bounty hunter on where? I don't remember. I did not take notes. But it would be a good question.
Sure. It's funny that you said that. I literally thought the same thing. I was like, wait a minute.
I don't remember that too.
I know
he said that he wanted to leave because he needed to pay back to Jabba.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, I know he said he owes money at some point, but he might have ran into a bounty hunter.
He was saying that when him and Leia were arguing in the many, many arguments that they have in this movie. And so he goes to say goodbye to Leia, and she's not really receptive. She's sort of busy at the moment, and he's just like, oh, don't get all mushy on me. And then they have an iconic argument where he's just like, you want me to stay because of how you feel about me. And he does the pointing thing that Harrison Ford does in every single movie.
Their exchange is one of like my favorite parts of this whole entire movie. I love the relationship between those two because they're just so snarky to each other. And those are like my favorite type of people, like quick-witted, snarky people. And they are just back and forth, will not admit that they like each other. And I love the hallway scenes.
Yes, like the hallway scene in Raul's favorite Rogue One.
The only good scene in that crappy movie.
What, the Darth Vader one?
Yes.
He's lying. He loves it.
Hell no.
The entire movie.
Don't get me started with that scene. That's one. That might be like honestly top three, maybe top two greatest scenes in Star Wars history, in my opinion. That hallway scene. I could watch that scene over and over and over. My favorite's the Praetorian Guard fight scene in The Last Jedi.
But, yes! Yes!
But I would not be opposed to saying that scene, the hallway scene, is my number two, which has nothing to do with Empire. So I'll be quiet now.
No, that's okay. Billy knows what is one of my top three favorite scenes of the whole saga.
No, you just love the entire Last Jedi. Just yes. Because of the shipping.
Not only the shipping. They will feel the young traders to steal you for paper money.
Oh my God. I will boot you out for this podcast. You gave me the power. The unlimited power.
Oh, so you're the emperor of this show then.
Yes.
Okay. Very fair. Very fair.
All right. So Han is, well, first of all, the Falcon's not working. It's like my car. It constantly needs repairs and Chewie's just repairing it. And he's just like, no, turn it off. Turn it off at one point. So they can't even leave the system, but then he overhears that, or 3PO comes in with R2 to talk to Han and say, oh, the princess is trying to talk to you. And he's like, I don't want to talk to her. He's like, but nobody can find Luke. And he's like, what do you mean nobody? He's like, he hasn't come back yet. Mm-hmm. And so yep. Han, being concerned for his buddy, because canonically this takes place 3 years after the original film. So yep. Jabba the Hutt is a very patient slug. Mm-hmm. And
I would just assume that they can't find him.
I mean, he's point. On Tatooine. He can't move far.
He isn't going very far.
Yeah, don't get me started on like that awful Clone Wars movie where Zero the Hutt tries moving.
Oh, it's funny that you said that because like I said earlier, I write questions for Sean and Molly. I refuse to watch and write questions for that movie. So
it's the one thing that all Star Wars fans absolutely hate.
Oh, 100%.
Not even the holiday special is apparently that bad.
No,
the special is amazing.
Oh yeah, I told them. I said I will write as much as you want for the other 12. I will not write anything for the Clone Wars. So I think Jill ended up doing it. But yeah, no, hard pass on that movie.
And Jill is Sean's girlfriend.
Yes,
and another co-host from a certain point of view.
Yes,
is Molly, which you guys should become patrons of and or listen to on YouTube. They almost got 900 subscribers now.
Last time I checked, we're at 938. I want to I'm trying to get, my goal is to see it hit 1,000 by the time the season starts, but that might be a high target.
I don't know. At this pace, it's like the clone army or battle droids. Just they keep coming.
Yeah. They just keep getting made over and over and over again.
Yeah, so Han goes out, and before he goes out, everyone's just like, "Oh, your Tauntaun will freeze to death," and then he goes, "I'll see you in hell." Yes,
I love that line. I'm
reminded of the Robot Chicken sketch. There's an underrated one where the guy that he told, who was John Ratzenberger, later is just doing something. He goes, "I'll see you in hell."
I love that line. It's just, that's such a Han Solo line. It's perfect.
Yeah. And then I don't know which version you guys watched, the original or special edition, but in the special edition, they added when Luke is in the Wampa cave that the Wampa is clearly eating the Tauntaun.
Yes.
And when Luke uses the Force pull, which that's a new ability, to get his lightsaber, which is in the snow, because Luke is hanging upside down in this cave. Like, he's like a slab of meat.
Mm-hmm. I just want to know how the Wampa was able to freeze his feet like that.
That's a very good question.
I've always wondered that. Like, how does he have like frost breath? How are his feet frozen in the icicle so quickly? I've always wondered that. Movie maybe, magic, but still.
Maybe the Wampa looks feet in water and then stick him like a popsicle for like 3 hours.
Maybe. Maybe. That could be true. I mean, stick the feet in cold water and then just stick it to the top. It might have froze. That's a good point.
That's true. So Luke force pulls his lightsaber, which is conveniently right next to him.
Yeah.
And he gets out and then slices the Wampa's arm off and goes out and is getting pelted with wind and snow, and it looks freezing, and it's really cold where I'm at right now, so that certainly didn't help. And we see the first force ghost of Obi-Wan Kenobi telling Luke that you must go to the Dagobah system. There he will find Yoda, the Jedi master who instructed me. And then Luke is almost frozen to death, and Han luckily is good at finding people because, you know, smuggler, and he picked up Luke's signal and gets Luke and sets up a shelter. His Tauntaun dies, so he puts Luke in the Tauntaun to warm him. Ugh. And it looks disgusting. I don't know what they put in that Tauntaun entrails and all that stuff, but
it kind of looks like dry ice when it spills out. That's what I've always assumed it is. It looks disgusting.
I thought there were some intestines from a cow.
Oh, maybe. Either way, it's gross.
Yeah, Han sets up a shelter, and then another great line from Han. And I thought they smelled bad on the outside.
Yep.
And sets up a shelter, and then the next morning, they are found by Rogue Two.
Yep. Very true. Oh, wait, before you go further, Billy, I have a good joke for you. What is the temperature of a Tauntaun?
What?
Lukewarm.
Nice. Hey.
Nice. Oh, crap.
I love Star Wars jokes.
That, honestly, that's like the only one I knew. So I was just like, all right, got to share that one. Continue. Yes, Rogue Two finds him.
It's like they were having a sale at the Darth Mall. Everything is half off.
I've never heard that one. That's a good one. That's a very good one.
Yeah. So they find him, and then Luke is put in the diaper and the Bacta tank, where he is, you know, that's how they explain his face change and everything, because the car accident had happened. I think George Lucas wrote this into the script.
It would make sense, because his face is like covered the whole time up until he gets attacked.
Yeah, so he is fine, and Han is just like, oh, you look strong enough to pull the ears off a Gundark, which we do see in the Clone Wars series.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he goes, now that's two you owe me, Junior. Leia comes in to make sure Luke is okay, and of course, Han and Leia start bickering. We got great lines like, laugh it up, fuzzball.
I love that.
You stuck up, half-witted, scruffy-looking nerf herder. Who's scruffy looking?
One of the best lines, comebacks you've ever heard. Who's scruffy looking?
And then the weird moment where Leia kisses Luke out of spite for Han.
Yeah, a little incest right there.
Yeah, in hindsight, probably not the best idea. George?
George had a friend back in the 70s, late 70s. He was George R. Martin, and they were kind of talking about incest. So I was like,
Makes sense. Idea. I mean, if you're going to get any incestual ideas, that is the person you want to go to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like poetry, it rhymes.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so then the rebels pick up a signal. And 3PO knows that it's not the rebellion because he likes to bring up the fact, just like Data from Star Trek, he knows 6 million forms of communication. Mm-hmm. It's like Data is just like, oh, I'm an android. all that crap. I don't know what it is with robots and saying, oh yeah, I can do this stuff. They're like vegans. It's like, ugh.
They got to brag a little bit on their skills.
Which I love that during this entire movie, 3PO is bullied relentlessly by everybody. It's almost comical.
Yeah, 3PO just gets bullied and just he never seems to care. He's like, whatever, I'm still smarter than you.
I know. Throughout the entire saga, he gets bullied, but this is textbook example of just every single person just gunning for 3PO. And all I kept thinking on a rewatch was, what did he ever do? I mean, granted, he doesn't shut up, but aside from that, he's just doing his job.
3PO, and there's a book, a lost book in the 80s or 90s that maybe he was trying to sue Han and Luke and Leia for like bullying, and they were going to cancel them, but he never got released, maybe.
It's funny that you said that. What has 3PO really ever done? I'm like literally going through my head like, no, hasn't.
Yeah, he didn't do anything. Everybody is just overly aggressive to 3PO.
The only like thing he's actually done is in The Rise of Skywalker, where they literally use him to translate. Other than that, 3PO is just kind of there.
And then R2 just, he does everything, and he's more snarky and kind of a dick when you really think about it.
With his magic.
I love R2. Yes, with his magic robo penis. Yes.
Yes. Lots
of robo penises. All right, so they find the remains of a probe droid. And Han and Chewie go out to investigate it, and then Chewie, I love that he just pops his head up like one of those whack-a-moles and it's just and Han shoots it twice because Han always shoots first.
Mm-hmm.
And like Han said immediately afterward, I didn't even hit it that hard, it must have a self-destruct button. And then we also cut to first the Imperial March theme.
Yes, which is one of the best scores in music.
One of the best. This entire score for this movie is iconic. It's the maestro John Williams at his best.
If I ever was to get married, I'd want to walk down the aisle with that song playing.
Nice.
If I were to get married, I would want to get the final music from A New Hope. You know, the do, 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 do.
Oh, yeah. That almost like works perfectly. I just want that menacing Darth Vader walking down the aisle like, yes, you are all here because of me.
Or Duel of the Fates, which you can never go wrong with.
Yeah. I don't think I would be able to hold myself back from kind of like doing a little bit of a dance if Duel of Fates was going. Nice. So
nice. But yes, we cut to Vader and his helmet is a lot shinier. And he is much taller than everybody. And we get the Imperial officers, Admiral Ossel, who is a complete idiot. And he also played Hitler in The Last Crusade.
Oh, yeah.
Lucas Synergy. We also get General Veers. Veers Watch.
Veers.
Played by Julian Glover. Again, Indiana Jones. Donovan.
No, you got to reuse your goodens.
And at this time, Captain Piet.
Yep.
You got to know all the Imperial officers' names.
It's
not. It's no Moff Gerard, but they're still good.
They're so.
Except for Ossel, he's an idiot.
There are so many, and Darth Vader just keeps killing them, and you're like, oh my god, which one is this one again?
Yes, Darth Vader goes over, and he goes, they're on Hoth. He knows this because there's a shield generator, and they talk, they're like, oh, there's some life forms on Hoth that's supposed to be uninhabited, and he goes, that's it, I know. I also think it's because he can just sense Luke through the Force.
I would say it's safe to assume that. Yeah,
retroactively. So they go down there, and the rebels know that the Empire knows where they're at, so they're just trying to get out, which is really weird for me because I never really thought about it. I thought that the rebels were going to do a direct assault, but then I thought, oh no, they're just covering their asses while they retreat. Just like in The Last Jedi when they're doing the same thing at Crait. And again, it's like poetry. It rhymes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We love a good rhyme in Star Wars.
Uh-huh. Yes. And we also see Darth Vader and his little egg. He has the swivel chair and everything.
I was like, egg? And then I was like, oh, well, gotcha. Yes, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, no. And his weird ball sack head.
Yes, yes.
It looks like a testicle. It does.
Absolutely does. That's probably what they modeled it off after.
The sexual innuendos in Star Wars
of course
are in full throttle in this saga. Absolutely. It only gets worse.
And then Darth Vader kills an admiral through Faison.
Yep, Admiral Ahsul, because he pulled out of light speed too quickly. He is as clumsy as he is stupid.
Never pull out too quickly. Always got the right time.
Not like the Battle of the Death Star.
No,
where absolutely they went, not. Luke, you think at that speed you'll be able to pull out in time?
Look at this.
Oh, Wedge. Oh, wait, no, that was Biggs.
Poor Biggs.
Poor yeah, Biggs. Rest in peace to the best stash.
Oh, God.
All right, so then they deploy the garrison, and we get the introduction of the AT-AT walkers, AT-AT walkers, whatever. The Imperial walkers.
Okay, wait, what do you call them?
I call them AT-ATs.
Okay, that's what I call them, too.
When I was a kid, I called them AT-AT.
That's fair. I'm pretty sure I did the same, so that's fair. There's no judgment on that, but I do call them AT-ATs.
Yeah, I call them AT-ATs too. I don't call them AT-ATs.
I honestly don't think I know a single person that calls them AT-ATs. Because you don't call AT-STs AT-ATs. Like, it doesn't make sense. So, I don't know.
Just knowing that they're all stop motion and models, that they were actual physical things, it's the coolest thing. When they're moving, you can definitely see the stop motion. Uh-huh. And even there are a few AT-STs on there, and they're definitely jerky.
Yeah, they're very hidden in the back. I will say AT-ATs probably will always be my favorite type of vehicle in Star Wars.
Nice. It's the coolest thing. In Jedi Fallen Order, when you get to pilot a AT-AT, it was the coolest thing. I just went, childhood fulfilled. And you get to see the inside.
100%. I could not agree more with you.
No, the Battle of Hoth, when I was watching it last night, I'm like, this reminds me of my favorite level in the Sega Star Wars Trilogy arcade game. I love that game. I spent a lot of time.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. I finished the whole thing many times.
That's such a good game. That is such a good game. Star Wars have made good games, old games.
And they still continue to make good games.
They do.
But the best will always be Lego Star Wars, the complete saga. Fingers crossed the Skywalker saga is okay.
I was going to say, I've played all of them except the Skywalker one. So still waiting on that one.
Yeah, still, it's supposed to come out in spring.
My favorite Star Wars games, like video games, is the Episode 3 PlayStation 2 Revenge of the Sith. I love that game.
Yes, I remember that.
I'm trying to think. Have I played? I think I had it for Xbox.
Oh my!
So, God. But yes, I know exactly. That was a good one.
Especially when you can play kind of like Mortal Kombat style when the Jedi of your choosing. I love that game.
Yes, I love the. The end of it too.
Yes, the alternate ending.
Yes, that's such a good game.
Yeah, and the speeders that go out, the rebellion speeders. We see that Luke is piloting one with Dak, who in the original movies before they edited Temuera Morrison was the voice of Boba Fett.
Oh,
like that blew my mind. I was just Dak. And once again, best pilot in the rebellion, Wedge Antilles, there as well. They realize, we can't shoot these AT-ATs. Their armor's too strong, unless you shoot above the neck. I know there's a weak spot there.
Yes.
But that's too hard to do while you're flying God knows how fast. So they gotta ensnare them with harpoons and tow cables and trip them. And Wedge manages to do this. Luke was going to, but Dak had a malfunction, and rest in peace, Dak.
Yeah, Dak didn't last very long.
That poor guy.
He wasn't. How do you feel, there. Dak? I feel like I can take on the entire empire. And then and Family Dak. Guy. But really? That'd be awesome.
He lasted less than Porkins. Poor Porkins.
Anyone that's fat in Star Wars dies. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah.
If you are any bit overweight, you die.
So usually,
no. They're typically the chunky guys.
You have a point, Brian. Even Parkman from Heroes died in Episode 9.
Yes, exactly. Porkins died. Snap Wexley was kind of bigger. He died. And if you are overweight, if you are overweight in Star Wars, you die.
Fast-speaking George.
Yeah, the entire Star Wars saga is just nothing but fat shaming.
100%. Absolutely. Look at all these in-shape characters. You don't see any fat people walking around.
One day, we'll get a fat Jedi. One day.
One day.
Okay, shoot. Who's the Twi'lek senator? Onfri Tah. He didn't die.
Who's that guy?
You know, from Episode 3, the big blue Twi'lek.
Yeah.
If you've watched Clone Wars, you definitely know who he is.
Yeah, I guess. Okay, fine. But he's animated.
Yeah, I don't. For me, the animated is not my canon. My canon is the movies.
Boo. Earns.
Boo. I'll slightly boo that, because Rebels is just too good.
I know. That's okay.
Hell yeah. Hashtag Rebels is the best.
I will finish it.
Where are you at in it?
I stopped watching like around episode 10 of season 3.
Okay.
What?
Oh, so you're, oh my God, you're almost done with it.
Yeah.
Dude, finish it.
Brian, I hated waiting months for every fucking episode, how Disney was dropping them on cable.
That's fair.
That's why I couldn't.
But you can binge the entire thing on Disney Plus. Oh. Available now.
Thank you, Disney, for our checks. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for mine.
You and me both.
Also, a sad story. I never noticed this on a rewatch. The Rogue Two, he dies in the battle, and he does. Just like, oh no!
Thank you.
See why they introduced him. It's so that you know he could die. Way to go, George.
Because there's not going to be a Rogue Two sequel. There's not going to be a Rogue One sequel. Thank you, God.
Well, there should be.
No,
you could get away with. I mean, you wouldn't be able to call it Rogue something, but like, I'm still waiting on the Bothans movie. So
I just want to know what the Bothans look like.
No, wait.
They look like dogs.
I think they released something about what they looked like.
Yeah, they look like dogs.
I want to be canon.
Yeah, they're like little. They basically look like dogs.
Yeah, I'm surprised there's no Bothan Jedi in the High Republic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I wouldn't be surprised if one shows up.
Hell, there's a Wookiee and a Trandoshan one.
Yeah, that is very true. Everyone's got one.
Hell, even the Ithorian and their weird side mouths.
Hey, don't you dare diss an Ithorian. Those are my favorite.
I know, that's why I brought it up.
I was going to say, don't you dare. But I love those guys.
Nerds.
If you don't know what the Ithorian are, Raul, it's the ones that look like slugs.
They're the hammerhead.
Hammerhead,
Kenner toys person.
They look like little slugs.
Oh,
yes.
Were they in something in the movies or in the animated shows?
They tend to be more in the animated, I would say.
Oh, okay.
They pop up in live action, but they're a background character.
Yeah, they're in the cantina.
Oh,
that's true. That is true.
Cool.
Yeah. So Han and Leia are trying to escape because Han is going to Leia and he's just like, we gotta get you out of here. We gotta evacuate because we're screwed.
Mm-hmm.
And Darth Vader has already landed. Veers blew up the shield generator like it was nothing, being a very effective Imperial officer because General Veers is great. And Han and Leia are going to the transports which we didn't even mention that they activated the shield, but they would bring it down for a small period while they would get transports out, mm-hmm. and they fired from the giant boob.
Yes. Yeah,
the giant boob nipple gun.
Yep, 100%. The giant boob gun.
Yes, the first transport is away.
Yeah. Yay. Thanks to the boob.
Yes, but they get blocked by a bunch of snow and ice. And so 3PO, Chewbacca, Han, and Leia have to go on the Falcon, which again has been having car trouble. Mm-hmm. They can't get anything to work. And they are getting shot at by snow troopers, and Vader's already landed. He's right there. And they make it out. And Luke, on the other hand, is he did really well in the Battle of Hoth. He blew up an AT-AT from the inside
mm-hmm.
by throwing a grenade in it.
Mm-hmm.
And he is with R2 in his X-Wing, and he's going to the Dagobah system. He's not going to meet at the rendezvous point.
Nope.
Because Ben told him to find Yoda.
And you know thing that I wonder right now? Why didn't Darth Vader force pull the Falcon? After watching all of the movies?
Because it was 1980 and they hadn't established that then.
Yeah, I think he was taking a break that day.
He was too tired. He didn't take his vitamins.
Yeah, he didn't get a long enough back to bath, so he just screw it, I'll deal with it later.
And yeah, so the Imperial Star Destroyers and everything are going after the Millennium Falcon because they know that Leia is on there and they know that she is a key member of the Alliance. And the Falcon can't go into hyperspace because the hyperdrive is screwed. So Han, as a brilliant pilot, he goes into the asteroid field.
Yes.
Why? Because he's crazy. I mean, the odds of surviving are 3,700 and
3,721. Never tell me the odds. And Leia, yep. Don't try to impress me.
Of course. I ain't trying to impress you.
Yeah, they're being romantic amidst this tension, which is very nice.
Yes.
It helps balance out. You know, it could be funny, but still keep the tension.
That's how Han learned it later.
Yes. And I believe after this, we cut to... They landed on the inside of a giant asteroid.
Mm-hmm.
More on that later. And I think we cut to Luke going to Dagobah.
Yeah, he crash lands into Dagobah.
Yep.
Yes, he crash lands into the swamp planet of Dagobah. Or... Louisiana, whatever.
Yeah, basically.
Kermit the Frog is somewhere on a log.
Yeah,
the state planet of Louisiana.
Or Billy, this is for you. That's one episode from season 2 of Avatar.
Oh yes, the swamp.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot about that. Maybe the tree is connected to the Force.
Yes, it's all connected.
I love one of my favorite parts. When they get to Dagobah is when R2-D2's in the water and he sticks his little antenna out and starts going boop, 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 boop. And he's just like singing while he's swimming around in the water.
Yeah. And Luke is all like, R2!
Yeah.
Where are you? And then we get a giant, I don't know what it is, but I mean, you probably know it, Brian, because you know more Star Wars than I do.
I actually don't. I can look at, that's actually a good
another good Schmodown Star Wars question. What is the thing that swallows R2 and then spits him out? Where he first goes,
wow! That's a good question. I should look.
And he gets all filthy.
That's a 5-pointer because you barely see that thing.
Yeah, that would be a 5-pointer, 100%.
Yeah.
There's always a big ass monster.
It is called a dragon snake.
Hmm.
A dragon snake, yeah. I mean, there's the trash monster.
Trash monster, yeah. That has a name. That even has a name, like Ooh. A human name.
It does. Does.
I forget what it's called, though, damn it.
We get this thing, and then we get the Sarlacc in Return of the Jedi. Oh, the Rancor can count, but I mean, like, things that are, like, underground
oh, okay.
and, like, big. And I was thinking of the Sarlacc pit.
Have you ever seen... what a Sarlacc looks without.
It's weird.
It looks like a giant baby, and it's weird. I don't like it.
Well, if you don't see the special edition, I'm like, it's technically a vagina.
Yeah.
It's, well, no, yeah, if you don't see the special edition, it's a giant butthole. And if you do see the special edition, it's a giant vagina.
Yeah. Good point, buddy. Good point.
Yeah, that is true. That is 100% true. They're, yeah, very weird looking creatures. That's for sure.
Yes. And he meets a little green guy who is just like, I am wondering, why are you here? He's like, I'm looking for a great warrior.
Oh, great warrior. Wars not make one great.
I love what we all know who it is, but...
Of course.
I mean, at this point in pop culture, if you don't know who Yoda is, what are you doing? But at that time, we didn't know what Yoda was. This little green puppet with the Einstein wrinkles and big ears. It's a weird concept to think about that this little green Muppet is one of the most important, if not the most important, Star Wars character.
And
according- because if Yoda didn't work, mm-hmm. then this whole entire trilogy, it would fall flat on its ass and it would be comical.
Mm.
I mean, not later, but you know yeah. what it means. It would not be regarded as one of the greatest sequels and one of the greatest movies if Yoda did not work.
Yeah, I mean, they got lucky that they didn't need him for more than the one. I mean, he did show up in Return, but like, he wasn't like the most necessary, but still was pretty important.
Yeah, so I think after he initially meets Yoda, who, I mean, he's just being hilarious.
And also Yoda grabs one of his granola bars.
Yes, he's eating the granola thing that looks like a log of shit.
And he steals the damn flashlight.
Yeah.
And then, mine!
R2-D2, disrespecting a senior citizen, canceled R2-D2 right there.
Like I said, R2's a dick.
R2 is quite sassy.
And also,
he's quite a fantastic character.
And also, we all know that R2-D2 and C-3PO is the biggest gay couple in Star Wars.
Probably yes. In droid world, yeah.
But yes, the little creature is like, oh, Jedi Master, Yoda, you seek Yoda. And Luke's just like, yes, can you take me to him? Yes, but at my home first. We must eat. And yep.
Dinner first.
Luke is just like, R2, just stay outside. They're just going to bite R2 in the ass later.
Oh God, that poor R2-D2. The warranty's going to go out on R2-D2 for so much water.
What an ass for making him stay outside.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that Luke is very impatient. He's just like, Come on, where's Yoda? All this stuff. And you're just like, God, I'd prefer that whiny little bitch from the first movie.
Yeah.
Which he is.
Yes, very much a whiny brat.
Yeah, so this weird blonde kid.
Like his father before him.
Like his father, yes. Powerful Jedi was he. Powerful Jedi. And I believe this is when we learned that the whole puppet changes. And to me, when I look at Yoda in Empire, I don't see a Muppet because it was made by Jim Henson and Frank Oz.
Mm-hmm.
Who, if you don't know who Frank Oz is, he's the original puppeteer and voice for Miss Piggy and Fozzie.
Yep.
Which is very strange to think about. Fozzie Bear and Yoda. But you can hear the similarities
if you
really think about it.
I could see that more than Miss Piggy.
I didn't even know that Frank Oz was Miss Piggy. That was a big revelation right now for me.
He's the Wizard of Oz, yo.
Damn.
Yep. Fozzie Bear, I could see. Because they do, you're right, Billy, they do kind of sound alike.
Yes. Fozzie as Yoda would be a great thing if the Muppets ever did Star Wars.
Oh my God. Or just have them be best friends.
That'd be great. He's just telling jokes. And Yoda is just telling jokes.
I could just see Fozzie being like, I don't understand what you're saying. Like half the time. Waka waka.
Waka waka.
Waka waka. Oh, goodness.
Yes. But his whole demeanor changes and he becomes stoic and he goes, I cannot teach him. Too much anger in him, like his father. We hear the disembodied voice of Ben Kenobi going like, was I any different when you trained me? Yes, me alone, by the way. Didn't have a bunch of younglings.
I was, whenever he said that, was I any different? I was like, yes, it was 100% different. Yes. You, Obi-Wan, you were a stiff ass. Like, Luke is not a total stiff ass. So yes, it was totally different. I was like, come on, that's a bad comparison. Hello?
Maybe when he was a Padawan, because most Padawans are like this, because they're very young. Most of them are children.
That is true.
But Luke being a 20-something-year-old man, I think he was 22? Almost 30 at this point.
Yeah, probably around there. I don't think they ever really say his age.
Because if I remember correctly, I think in canon, Luke was 17 or 18 in A New Hope. So technically he will be like 21 or 22 in The Empire Strikes Back.
He'd be 20 then, because this takes place 3 years after A New Hope.
Yeah, 20 or 21, one of those ages.
And also...
Yes, he's you're, like... Uh-huh. He's like, you are reckless. And he is. And he goes, he is too old. Yes.
Too old
for the training. He goes, I've learned so much. And I'm just like, did you? Did you learn?
You learned about 5 things 20 seconds ago. How did you learn so much?
You had like a free trial of a Jedi class with Obi-Wan.
Yeah. What Obi-Wan did was he put a blast shield on his head and had a little ball shoot him. He learned about the Jedi mind trick. He learned about the robes, which apparently everybody wears in Tatooine. And really, that's about it. And what the Force is, which is just energy between all living things.
Yeah, he got
the. And Yoda reiterates this fact later in the movie that the Force is a powerful thing because it's between all things. The Force is everywhere.
I like Raul's comparison. He basically got the free trial version.
Yes, thank you, Brent.
First movie. Oh, God, that's a good one.
He didn't even got the free rope, like in a karate class. Thank you, thank you. Have a good night.
That was a good one. I might have to steal that in the future. So okay. Copyright it. Oh, that was a good one.
You owe me a Starbucks if we ever meet in person.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. We also see R2 outside of the hut, and it's pouring rain out, and you just can't help but go, aw, R2. Luke tries some root leaf stew, which apparently they do have at Disneyland, and it's supposed to be terrible.
Really?
I believe it.
Mm. Wow.
I believe it. Who wants to? Who goes to Disneyland and gets stew?
I'm there for blue milk or spatchka.
Yeah, like, come on. I'm sorry.
The drinks at the cantina are pretty good, though.
I haven't been yet. I was supposed to go last year for a freaking celebration, but I would not get I wouldn't get soup if I was going to Disneyland. Sorry, it's not happening.
Yeah, you want to get some roast pork or Cabo Kia monkey lizard.
I will say those porgs did look kind of delicious when Chewbacca was making.
No! Yeah, you lightly season it, and then it's like a turkey leg.
Shut up!
Out of spite, I am saying all this.
I know,
and I think I did skip the bounty hunters. We don't need this.
Go. Nope, you skipped the first Han and Leia kiss.
Oh yes, when they're trying to repair the ship inside the asteroid, and Leia is welding something and trying to get this lever down, and Han is coming in.
Being Mr. Smooth.
Mr. Smooth, yes. He's all just like, well, you could be a little bit nicer.
Just like,
well, if you didn't always act like a scoundrel. And you're like, oh, scoundrel. I like that.
Scoundrel.
But I'm into nice men. I am a nice man. And then they kiss, and it's just like, finally. But then 3PO, this is one thing.
Cock-blocking?
He fucking cock blocks them.
C-3PO is the biggest cock block in all of Star Wars.
Yes.
He does it multiple times. Just, yeah. Also, always.
Imagine if C-3PO wouldn't be in that scene. This is the 80s. There would have been a sex scene, and if it would have been PG.
Yeah, probably.
And then another scene that you skip, Darth Vader gets a message that he's like, the Emperor wants to talk to you. And so then Darth Vader was like, get the ship out outside the asteroid field, because he wants to get the 5 bars of signal for the face not to go crappy with the Emperor, because then the Emperor changes sex from a woman into the Emperor.
Wow. To Ian McDiarmid. And I noticed something that he said during the hologram call.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, the original Snoke.
Yes.
And it's also canon. He goes, he said,
for me, when I saw him, I thought the Emperor was a woman the first time I saw him.
Yeah, originally it was. The voice was Clive Revel, who was the original Alfred in Batman the Animated Series.
Oh!
6 episodes.
I did not know that.
Cool.
Yes. It was weird. I think it was, or he says, this is the offspring of Anakin Skywalker.
Mm-hmm. First time we hear Anakin's name.
Yep.
Yes, canonically. And when you are watching this for the first time, you don't know he's referring to Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm. No idea.
And even Darth Vader is just like, yes, he is the son of Skywalker.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, he would be a powerful ally if we could turn him. He's like, yes, you will join us or die.
My master.
Which,
my master. And he's down there looking so tiny, like a little pepper shaker.
At that point, Darth Vader's got to be sitting there like, wait a minute. There's a rule of two. Who's replacing this asshole? Like, that's what I always thought. Like, I mean, yeah, they never really like announced the rule of two at this point. But like, looking back at it, you're like, Darth Vader had to be like, wait a minute. Who the hell is this guy talking about? Because someone's going to go, and it ain't going to be me. So something's going on here.
Good one, Brian. Really good one. Or according to George Lucas' original outline for the sequels, maybe it was Darth Maul.
Maybe. That would be cool.
Luckily, we get Darth Maul back.
Yeah, more Maul.
Clone Wars.
I'll take as much Maul as I can get.
And in the movie that no one saw, Solo?
That's my third favorite Star Wars movie.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, we should get Brian for that one.
Sure.
That'd be awesome.
Down.
Oh, yeah. I will never forget, I saw Solo at the Regal LA Live here in LA. It was only in 4 people at the 7 p.m. opening night.
Oh my God.
And on
that's really
on
sad.
The big screen, the one that cost $22, the big ass one.
Holy crap.
$22? Yes. Jesus. I've never paid that much for a ticket.
Yeah. For an IMAX, IMAX out here is usually.
I paid at the most maybe $15.
Also, I didn't pay for money. Thank you, MoviePass.
Oh,
God. Rest in peace.
I miss MoviePass so much.
MoviePass was the greatest.
I think after this, you know, we get the ship, Millennium Falcon, shaking.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Leia goes into Han, of course, into arms. And he's just like, don't get excited. She's like, Captain, being held by you isn't quite enough to get me excited. No, we know what she's talking about.
Yes, we do.
With all the sexual innuendos in this fucking movie.
Of course.
It's a miracle that wasn't written by Sigmund Freud.
Oh my.
It's that rampant. It's ridiculous. Yes, they go outside, I believe, and Leia first spots something, and we get a Wynock, which is a
Minoc.
Mouth parasite. Minoc. Yeah, you're right.
And also Leia says, I have a bad feeling about this.
Yep.
That iconic line. Mm-hmm. And everybody goes outside except for 3PO, and he's just like, I'll be in here guarding the ship.
Yes. 3PO's like, I'm out of this. I'm done. Like, he's like, this is some bull. I'm out of this.
Yep. and we get they shoot the Minok, and everyone's just like, ah, because there's a bunch of them.
Yes.
And then Han notices, or when they get out, they're like, oh, the ground feels wet and, you know, squishy and not stable.
And then he shoots the ground. Wait,
something's not right. Shoots the ground.
Yep.
Yeah. And then he's like, uh-oh, we got to take off now. And she's like, what? And he goes, no time to discuss this with the committee.
Yes,
I'm not a committee.
Also, remember the Family Guy parody? He's like, wait a moment. And he shoots like five times.
He has some of the best lines. I love Han Solo's.
Mm-hmm.
He's the best.
In this movie especially, this is peak Han Solo.
Oh, 100%.
Yes.
He does not get more iconic. The hair is super fluffy.
The fucking jacket looks fucking sexy.
Yeah, the jacket. Han Solo is just a badass in this.
Mm-hmm.
And Harrison Ford, I'm just saying, he's pretty handsome.
He's a handsome devil. That guy is.
He was almost 40 at that time.
Yeah, he is a handsome devil. That's why he got all those Indiana Jones, all that stuff.
Also, pretty cool for Harrison Ford, kind of like talking in the 80s, did Empire, and then right after he did Raiders.
Yeah, he did. You are right. You are very
true.
Right. He was the face. Yeah.
Yep.
Then he transformed into Jake Berlin, who is the last co-host.
Don't give him that
credit. I just love feeding his ego.
No, because then I'm the one that has to deal with it. The ego is too big.
He'll probably just be like, hey, you hear what Billy said about me today?
Yeah,
What's up, View Crew?
Oh, God. All I need to hear is you comparing him to Harrison Ford. I'm going to have to deal with
that. And then we get Kylo in the background.
Oh, Kylo. Kylo has amazing timing with his barking.
Nice.
Yeah, Kylo is Jake's dog.
Yeah.
And he's a good boy.
Nice.
He is. He's the goodest of boys.
And then they notice that it was not a cave. And then we see, it was like, oh my God, the cave is closed. It was like, this is no cave. She was like, what? And then we see that penis with teeth.
Yeah.
I was about to say the same thing. It yeah. looks like a dick.
It does. It absolutely does.
And he's poking. He's writing.
Yep. Yep, it absolutely does.
Again, the sexual innuendo.
Oh my goodness. Yep, it definitely does.
And then I think we get the bounty hunters scene where we see my personal favorites, Bossk, which is the Trandoshan, IG-11, Dengar, who I always love in Robot Chicken.
Dengar just looks homeless. Like, he literally is just like, who let the hobo bounty hunter in?
Wrap myself in toilet paper, make myself a toilet. What about you, Bossk? Mm.
I just like when you see Bossk's feet, he's just like tapping them, kind of.
Yeah.
Moving his feet around.
Also, another thing in that scene, a little thing that I never noticed before, I was like, oh, we need to send a signal to the Star Destroyer Avenger. And I'm like, wait, what? This is a Star Destroyer called Avenger. That's pretty cool. The
Avengers are coming.
Captain Marvel will return.
Oh, gosh.
She will. She will return.
As is Thanos, hopefully. Maybe in Eternal. Maybe in Eternals.
Yes, he will return in Eternals for a little bit.
I was like, I will give a big reward to the one that brings me Captain Soul and the Millennium Falcon. I want them alive. No disintegrations.
No disintegrations.
As you wish. Or before it was, as you wish. And then it turned into, as you wish.
The Australian accent.
Because he sounds like Jango Fett. And he's a Kiwi.
But we love Jango Fett.
We love Tamara Morrison. He's a badass.
We do.
I thought you were making sound like that guy from The Meg. I'm forgetting his name right now. Jason Statham?
No, Jason Statham is just Cockney. No, Jason Statham just sounds like this.
He does.
He's all like, hey, there's a big fucking shark out there. You gotta do something.
I mean, that was a pretty good impression. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
I've seen Snatch. I've seen Crank.
That was, I'll give you that. That was a pretty solid impression.
No, Billy's right pretty good at impressions. I tried to convince him to do like voice work, and he doesn't want to do it yet.
Oh, why not? Come on. You can do know it. You got to move out to LA or California first, though.
Yeah, that's the problem.
I told him that he can stay here with me.
There you go. There's your ticket.
The golden ticket. I'm not going to be Grandpa Joe, that greedy bastard. I hate Grandpa Joe so much.
Just get on out here, out to California. There you go. Become a voice actor.
All right. And then we get Luke training, doing a training course with Yoda on his back. Yes. And it's adorable just because I want that backpack of Yoda on the back.
Okay. Yeah.
And he's just doing flips and shit. And I mean, it's hilarious when you see this little puppet.
Yes.
And all I kept thinking was bad lip reading, run, 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 jump. I could be your backpack while you run.
And then I love one of the lines that Yoda says, a Jedi's strength flows through the Force. But how can I differentiate the good side from the bad? I was like, the dark side is quicker, easier, more seductive. And I'm like,
Yes. And Yoda, again, some great quotes. He goes, a Jedi uses the Force for knowledge and defense, never for attack, which is bullshit.
Look, the last Jedi, he used it for knowledge and defense.
Yes, but the Jedi of old did not. Mm-hmm. They were keepers of the peace, not soldiers. Cut to them immediately starting a fucking war.
Yep,
this is true.
The hypocrisy of the Jedi is quite rampant in the prequels.
Yes,
exactly.
Definitely discuss that when we get there.
That's a big plot point.
Mm-hmm. And then Luke says, I feel cold. I feel dead. That place is strong with the dark side of the Force. You must go. You don't need
That's a really dangerous place to go. Mm-hmm. You should go in it. Like, that's literally, that always cracks me up. They're like, yes, that place is horrible. It's a bad place. You definitely need to go in it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay.
And I'm like, Yoda, that sounds pretty Mexican because we like to like do put ourselves in danger. I was like, oh yeah, do it, dude. You can do it.
And then he's just like, what will I find in there? Only what you take with you. Your weapons. You will not need them. But then he brings his weapons in anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Stutter, did I?
Yep. Clearly.
And then I still don't know what to make of this scene where he fights the Force vision of...
Where he fights himself.
Darth Vader, and then it...
I think...
And then he decapitates it, and then it reveals it's Luke. What did you guys interpret that as? I'm really curious.
You, Brian, you go first.
I always took it as, like, your path to the dark side. Like, if you don't follow the right path, this could be you, like, type thing. Like, if you don't, like, train to be a Jedi and use the light side, like, you're just going to be the next Vader. That's how I always kind of took it as.
The first time I see it when I was a kid, I was like, wow, what is the meaning of it? Because even remember when I was a kid, I was like, holy crap, the fight is going to be right now? Or like in that moment, because for me, I was like started watching movies when I was 7 or 8 years old when I saw it. And so I didn't notice that this was a kind of like a dream sequence.
Yeah, I remember when I agree. When I first saw it, I was like, He just killed Vader already? And then it's like, okay.
Yeah, and
just some dude it was.
Yeah.
And so, and now, I think it goes back of what Yoda said earlier. A Jedi uses the Force for knowledge and defense, never for attack, because you can see the moves. Luke went immediately for the head. And it represents... that he took the seductive side of it, and that's why he sees himself in the helmet.
Yeah,
that's actually a really good point. You're blowing my mind, dude.
That's pretty good.
Because he does that throughout the fight with Vader. He always initiates, and he's the one that attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Vader is more defensive.
Yep.
And the irony is, you know, Vader is the embodiment of evil, and Luke is supposed to be the embodiment of good. Literally, their lightsabers represent that with their colors.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Very good point.
Thank you.
Blowing Billy's mind. After this, The Falcon is still getting chased by the Imperials.
No, first, remember that they put themselves in like, kind of like, oh yeah, they get chased and then they do that thing of like hiding behind one of them. I like that.
Yes, Han outmaneuvers them.
Oh yeah, he hides.
He knows a few maneuvers.
Yeah, he pretends to be trash.
Which, the Millennium Falcon, it's a piece of junk.
It is a piece of junk.
The garbage will do.
They float. And while this is happening, Captain Nita, one of the Imperials, is just like, we lost them? I will go over to Lord Vader and I will apologize.
Yeah.
That will end up well. And he's just like, I'll take this one, guys. I'll take the L. I'm just going to apologize to him. Hopefully he'll be cool with it.
Poor asshole.
Yeah, what could go wrong? I just totally screwed things up. But, you know, I'll just go tell Vader, you know, it was an accident and just dead.
He lost his 401k.
Yeah. They still can't get the hyperdrive to fix. Or, yeah, they can't fix the hyperdrive throughout the entire movie.
Yeah, God forbid someone knows how to fix a hyperdrive around here.
Well, later in the movie, somebody does. Yeah,
someone does.
And then we see them float through the garbage, and then we see Boba Fett following them.
In the Slave One.
I like the ship. Don't know if I like the name.
Yeah, I could have done with a different name, probably, but...
Yeah. You have a point there. I never liked the name, too.
While this is happening, he sees the area where they're in, which system they're in, or systems are nearby, and he goes, oh, Lando. The Lando system. No, Lando's not a system. He's a man. Lando Calrissian.
Yes, he is a man.
And before that, I love Leia's line of, you have your moments, not many, but you do have them.
Aren't we all like that? We have our moments. Yeah. There's not many, but we have them.
Being relatable as fuck.
Yeah. Do you know Lando's full name?
No.
No? No?
Do you? Ooh.
Yes. It's Landonis Balthazar Calrissian.
Wow.
That is great.
Quite the fancy name.
And before we go to Bespin, which is the planet, Roka.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. I was going to say it.
he messed up. Did you hear what he messed up the other day?
No.
Someone asked him. Him and Ben, what the, oh crap, I'm drawing a blank. They asked him what the capital of the Republic was, and he didn't know it.
It's Coruscant.
It's Coruscant.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Coruscant. Yeah.
Or if you're Qui-Gon, Coruscant.
Yeah. he didn't know it. He said Naboo.
It's been 6 years already!
I know. So...
Yeah. He's as old as Yoda, but just as cranky as Luke.
Well,
or hell, cranky as Han, really.
Yeah, that's fair.
Han is always like in a bad mood.
He is always.
Chewie's just a big dog. See, 3PO is just that annoying cousin that you bring along. And Leia is just
3PO.
Yeah, and Leia is the hot chick that you really want to impress.
Of course.
Yes. I believe after this, it's a lesson, and Luke is, for whatever reason, upside down, lifting up boxes, and Yoda is standing on one of his legs.
The weirdest and flex.
Like, it's so weird.
I can do a handstand and balance this creature. Weird flex, but okay, whatever you want. Yes.
And then we see that his X-Wing that crashed into Dagobah is sinking, and Yoda is just like, concentrate!
Balls.
And then it says, you have to unlearn what you have learned. Do.
Yep.
Or do not. Yes. There is no try.
Which every executive uses that quote.
Yep. One of the most brilliant lines in Star Wars.
And
yes, and Luke just goes, Master, moving rocks around is one thing, but moving ship is a completely different thing. And Yoda is like, no different.
Mm-hmm.
Only different in your mind.
Mm-hmm. You do know that was a callback. Well, Last Jedi used that as a callback, right? It's just moving rocks.
Oh, yep. Good one.
Yep. So.
And then he says, I am. It's too big. And I was like, judge me. by my side, do you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So then Luke tries to get it out, and we see that he's actually doing it, and he's believing in himself. And then even you see Yoda's face, and he's just like, oh, shit, he might do this. But then you see Luke's face, and he starts to doubt himself, and the ship completely sinks under the water, and he goes, I can't do it. It's too big. Size matters not. Look at me. Judge me by my size, do you? Said every man ever.
It's a total motion of the ocean, not the size conversation.
Yes, and he goes, I forget what he says after that, but then he goes, for my ally is the Force, and a powerful ally it is. Life creates it, makes it grow. Its energy surrounds us and binds us, and then luminous beings are we, not this crude matter. You must feel the Force around you, between you, the tree, the rock. Yes, even between the land and the ship. And he's trying to say, Luke, the Force is everywhere around you. You just have to trust it and trust in yourself, and you can do anything. And Luke just goes, of course, and his arrogance goes, you want the impossible. Frustrated.
Did you write this down, or did you know all of that off the top?
No, I remember this.
Wow,
I've seen Empire that many times.
I'm right, but I also remember a lot of it too.
Wow.
Yes, and then Yoda being the badass. This is when Star Wars transformed from a fantastic film into a phenomena for me. That this little green Muppet with Yoda's theme, which I think is my favorite piece of music. It might be my favorite piece of music ever.
Really?
Yoda lifts...
Over the Man of Steel music?
I don't know.
I threw that at you.
That's a good one. No, Flight from Man of Steel is pretty iconic. Ah. But he lifts the entire X-Wing, this little... 2-foot puppet out and onto the land. Luke is just dumbfounded. I mean, even R2 with his little wobble.
He's like, I love it.
He's just like, oh shit. He's basically saying, Luke, look at this. And he just goes, I don't believe it. That is why you fail.
The crowd
goes wild.
Totally clowns him right there. It's like, that's right.
But it's true.
No, absolutely.
And it's a great lesson in life. Absolutely. Yeah, really, we're nothing compared to the Force, which is this power, this unexplainable power in the universe that you can accomplish basically anything. You just have to trust in it and trust in yourself. And Yoda knows this. He's been around for 800 years. Or 900, depending on...
At this point, he's eight. Well, yeah, it's true. He trained the Jedi for 800, but he's like close to 900.
Yes, because in the next movie he goes, when 900 years old, you will be. Look as good. You will not.
Yeah, you know 100%. That's the thing, talking about time in Star Wars, I always have a theory for like 5 years that maybe time works different in every planet. And what we're seeing in the movies when they're in space for us is like regular time of us. And maybe in every planet, the time is different, kind of like an Interstellar.
Maybe.
So you're saying that they could solve the famine crisis by channeling the power of love?
Yes.
Exactly.
Oh, boy.
I love that movie.
No, Interstellar is... wasn't as bad as I thought.
I love that movie.
Thank you, Brian. It's my favorite Nolan movie. Sue me.
That is my favorite Nolan movie, too. Oh, wait. I forgot about Dark Knight. If you're not counting the Batmans, it's my favorite Nolan movie.
Nice.
And my favorite Nolan, Prestige, easily.
I haven't seen Prestige.
Oh, dude. You have to watch The Prestige. Yeah. It's so good.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I'll have to.
It has Christian Bale using his actual accent, and he's with Hugh Jackman.
Okay, I'll add it to the list.
And they're magicians, and they're rivals, and it's, oh my god, it's so good.
Okay, I'll have to add it to the list.
That will be an
interesting... It's very much a Christopher Nolan movie. It gets very complicated.
You know, that will be an interesting double feature, The Prestige and Now You See Me. Now thinking about it.
Oh, Prestige would win.
I know, but I'm talking about kind of like a weird kind of like magic kind of movies.
The Illusionist. with Edward Norton and Paul Giamatti, which I think came out the same time as
the same time, kind of like Armageddon, and the other one that I'm forgetting with Elijah Wood,
Deep Impact. Deep
Impact, yes. And to speak.
When was the last time that happened? I think it was White House Down and Olympus Has Fallen. Yes. That was the last time that happened, because I remember No Strings Attached and Friends with Benefits. Friends with Benefits is better.
Ooh.
And I don't. I'm saying that because Star Wars connection. Natalie Portman is in No Strings Attached.
Bringing it back.
It's like poetry. It rhymes.
all these movies I haven't seen.
Wow.
I told you, Brian hasn't seen many movies.
It's very sad. It's a sad list.
Oh, yes. It's like with me when I told Billy so many movies that even Billy has told me, I was like, do you watch a lot of movies that no one saw? And I'm like, yes, I do.
I have no business being on movie podcasts, but why not?
Brian, I'm going to tell the same thing that I sometimes tell Billy too. Billy knows more of like him from me that because he watches a lot of classics. I haven't watched a lot of classics. And I teach Billy to watch all of the cult movies and a lot of movies that no one saw. And
that's fair.
Well, also Mexican cinema.
Also Mexican cinema too.
Fair.
And also no one has the time to watch all of the movies. That's going to be impossible.
Yeah, I tend to stick more towards like more nerdy stuff. That's my kind of.
I like to dip into everything.
Yeah, I don't. I would say my like special knowledge would be more towards like nerdy stuff, but I don't have a problem watching stuff. I'm just not. I do horrible with slow paced movies. That's what kills me.
What kind of slow pace? Like for me, the most slowest paced movies I can think of right now is the stupid overrated A24 horror movies like Midsommar and Hereditary and Lighthouse.
See, I haven't seen any of those. I would say the one that immediately comes to my mind is like The Post.
Oh, that's slow.
Or like The Revenant.
Oh, good one. Really slow.
I was about to say Steven Spielberg later in his career. He just makes these slow-ass long movies.
Slow movie. Those are what tend to kill me. So,
no, yeah. Talking with going back with Billy with the Mexican thing, I love that he brought up The Revenant because he knows that I don't like Iñárritu. Talking about the big three.
No, he does not like Iñárritu at all.
Fair enough. That's fair.
Yeah. So after Yoda lifts the X-Wing out, we cut to Captain Nita getting choked out.
Oh, poor guy.
Apology accepted, Captain Nita. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of humor that Darth Vader has. He's not a pun dad machine.
Don't choke on your aspirations, Captain.
Yeah, director. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a difference between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think, I don't know if I'm skipping the scene.
Wait. Now we go back to Yoda. They're doing the thing upside down again with the boxes.
Oh, yes. And then this is where we first learn about Force visions, mm-hmm. about the future, even though we can't see them. We don't really need to see them. And he goes, I see a city in the clouds. And Han and Leia. Oh, yeah, and he's also lifting up all the boxes, and R2 once again drops them all.
Or R2.
Like the base. And he goes, oh my gosh, my friends are in trouble. And Yoda is just like, well, you help them you can.
Yoda, let's be honest. Yoda's like,
he's basically like, fuck them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
It's like, damn, Yoda.
Yoda's kind of an ass.
I mean, he's also a little sassy as well.
Yeah.
Yoda's very sassy.
I love the thing that he said. I was like, but will they die? Difficult to see. Always in motion, the future is. You will destroy everything that they have fought for and suffer.
Yes. And so Luke, he doesn't care. He's going after his friends because he loves them. And that's what the power of friendship does. And even Obi-Wan shows up and he's just like, Luke, I don't want to lose you the way I lost Vader. And Yoda is like, yeah, listen to Obi-Wan. If you choose the quick and easy path like Vader did, you will fall to the dark side. And he doesn't care. He's just like, and sacrifice Han and Leia. And he goes, if you honor what they fight for, yes. I love his little mouth just goes, yes.
Yes. Does anyone feel like he made the wrong choice? I would have for sure done what he said. I wouldn't have listened to Yoda.
In hindsight, you can see how it's a bad choice because ultimately what happens and that it's very clearly a trap.
It's a trap.
It's a trap.
Oh, it's 100% a trap, yeah.
But yes, I would still go for them.
Yeah, I would have too.
Yeah, and also...
And before this, oh yeah, we forgot to introduce Lando Calrissian.
Smooth talking Lando.
He's got a lot of guts coming back here after the stunt he pulled.
Love Lando.
And he goes, how you doing, you old pirate? It's great to see you. How you doing, Chewbacca? You still hanging around this loser?
Love Chewbacca. Love Lando. Oh,
and he immediately is just, hello, what have we here?
Sees a pretty lady and immediately gets distracted.
Mm-hmm. Great mustache.
Sure.
As well. Billy D, it's man, that guy is smooth.
And then it's a decent. We got a line of exposition that Han won the Millennium Falcon on a poker game.
Yep, that is true.
Hey, he won that game fair and square.
Mm-hmm. He did. When playing Lando.
Also, during this encounter, 3PO gets blown up by somebody because he walked in the wrong door. Even the other droid that looks like. Even the other protocol droid is mean to 3PO.
Yeah, that fucking word, like, Ochuta? I was like, that sounds like Ochuta. Ochuta. I was like,
Oh, no, please don't get up. No! And then he gets blown up. And only Chewie comes back. Only Chewie cares.
Also, because C-3PO hurt, I was like, oh, that sounds like an R2 unit. And I put on my nose, C-3PO simping for R2-D2 as always.
Yes. And we also see that we get introduced to the Ugnaughts. Nasty little buggers.
Yep.
You know, the I have spoken things, Raul.
Oh! I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
And they're playing football with 3PO's head while Chewie's just trying to get all of 3PO.
It's like, just give me my friend back.
And also, it was like, Chewbacca found C-3PO with some filthy John Traders? Question marks?
No. I will beat you off of this podcast. Don't test me. Yes, even Han and Leia they're discussing. Leia just goes, I don't trust Lando. And Han is just like, I don't trust him either. Yeah. But we don't really have a choice here.
I love that. Because it's like, I don't trust him either, but we're just going to do it. And it's like, really? Oh, God.
Now, also, you forgot one of the biggest, still debated quote for 40 years in Empire Strikes Back. That boy is our only hope. No.
Oh, yes.
No.
There
is another. And that's like, ooh, sequel tease.
It's not Rey.
Yep. It definitely was not Rey.
It's not Grogu.
Not Grogu.
Oh, yeah. Well, coming from Grogu's dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yoda's gay. That's canon.
It was.
Is it though?
It was 100% supposed to be Leia.
No, then they just brought back Palpatine. It's okay.
No, for me, it's Leia. In that line, for me, it's Leia.
Yeah, it has to.
No,
be.
It's intentionally Leia. I'm just saying.
I know.
That if it was made by Disney, then they just would have brought Palpatine back. Oh, somehow.
They did. Oh my
god. Somehow.
Oh my god.
They did.
I created Snoke. Ugh. Oh god. That's gonna be
sure you did.
Me and Billy, we know it's gonna be like 4 hours of us just bitching and cussing to them.
Yeah, we're generally very positive on this channel. It's ridiculous how positive, but no, when that happens,
it's fair.
You better get prepared.
Oh, yeah,
it's fair.
Be prepared like Scar.
It's fair. Be prepared.
So yes. Vader sets up a trap because Lando is just like, I just made a deal that it'll keep the Empire out of Bespin forever. And then we see Vader go up and he blocks the blaster bolt. He didn't block it in midair, but again, this was before they established what the Force could do. And he goes, "We would be honored if you would join us for dinner." For some reason, Boba Fett's there, because I guess he's the bounty hunter that... Well, he did track them to Bespin.
He wants to take him back to Tatooine.
Yeah.
That's true. He wants to take him back to Jabba the Hutt. So that's why he's getting Han's bounty.
Also, Han, that's how you impress your future father-in-law? To shoot him right in the face?
I mean, he didn't know that he was his father. Not yet.
It keeps things exciting.
Yes. And then you just see this look on Lando's face, and he's just like, "They arrived shortly before you did. I didn't have a choice. I'm sorry." And then everybody's just shitting on Lando. Which brings me to, Lando did nothing wrong. He did absolutely nothing wrong. Okay, look. Hear me out. He was put in a situation. He had to, you know, he's the head of a city of the mining guild, and all these people, he's responsible for these people now, and the Empire, they're, you know, the Empire, and he made what he thought was the best decision to get them out. Yes, he did betray his friends, but you could see that he didn't really want to do that, and he does redeem himself. He does get those Imperial guys that were going to take them to wherever because of Lobot, and he says, "Oh, there's still a chance to save Han later on." You know, he's doing the best that he can.
He's trying. Still an asshole move.
Yeah, it's an asshole move.
Yeah, I mean, he did it for the people. I mean, but he's not a bad guy.
He's not, but he is a character that is more worried about himself than anything else.
Well, but also, if you think about it, then he learned his lesson, because the deal was getting worse every time.
It was. The deal keeps getting worse every time.
Which is the ultimate dad move, where you could just say, "I'm altering the deal. Pray I don't alter it any further."
Yeah, that was a gangster move on Darth Vader's part.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's also a dick move on Vader's part, but we know that was going to happen. Lando was just naive to think that the Empire would keep their word.
If anyone's going to be a dick like that, it's going to be Darth Vader. So, whatever.
Yeah, what the hell, Annie?
Yeah, exactly.
I love you, Annie! Yay!
Oh, God. The Force Ghost Jar Jar.
Yes!
Last thing we need.
Well, we'll get to Jar Jar. But they're torturing Han, just Han specifically, because
you know why.
He knows that Luke is, Luke can feel that. Also, he's made a connection with all of them, and he knows something's wrong. And yeah, we get Han screaming his ass off while Lando is just like, "Hey, you said that the princess and Chewie would be free. You didn't say anything about them staying here." And then, "I've altered the deal. Pray I don't alter it any further." And Boba Fett's just like, "I need him alive. He's no use to me dead."
I had a toy that used to, like, if you walked by it, it censored, and it would always say that. So I, like, will never forget that line.
"This deal is getting worse all the time."
"The deal is getting worse all the time." Oh, man. And then we cut to the carbonite freezing.
Oh.
So what Vader wants to do is he wants to hold Luke in suspended animation and bring him to the Emperor by putting him in carbonite, which is essentially a cryo sleep sort of thing.
Yep.
Yes.
And they're like, "Oh, that's dangerous. That could kill him. If you, not everybody survives the freezing process." And then Vader's just like, "That's why we're going to test it on Captain Solo."
But I love how elegant he says, I was like, "We'll test it on Captain Solo."
Chewie freaks out. He knocks over one of the Imperial Guards, or not Imperial Guards, Stormtroopers. Imperial Guards are the Emperor's guard. And Han just calms Chewie down. He just goes, "Chewie, you have to take care of the princess. You know, I'm going to be gone for a bit. but you have to step up.
Also, you skip.
And he also, he put 3PO's head on backwards.
Yeah.
While they were in prison, Chewie was just like, fuck it, I'm going to repair 3PO.
Also, you skip when they're in the jail cell and Lando shows up. It was like, it's because, what are they doing this? They didn't even ask me any questions. It was like, and then Lando was like, no, it's because I'm trying for Leia and Chewie to stay here because they want you. Because they're setting up a trap for some guy named Skywalker. Well, like, this is a trap. And where'd the bait?
Yep.
Yeah, they're quick to point out that this was all just so Luke could face Vader. Mm-hmm.
And also, I really love how even Han is on restraints and allow his snark. He was like, what's going on, buddy?
Buddy.
You're putting it.
He did give Lando a really nice right hook.
Yep.
He did. Caught him right in the mouth.
Yep. And then we get the iconic, I love you, I know.
Yes.
And then Han gets frozen. And originally Harrison Ford wanted him to die because he wanted out of this franchise. Let's be honest. That's why he wanted to
do it. I believe it because
he did.
He always said, I didn't see any point to him being there. And I was just like, I can see a lot of point.
Yeah,
him being there. You just don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Also, like for me, going back when I was a kid in 1997, when the first time I saw The Empire Strikes Back, when I was 8 years old, I'm like, in that moment, I was crying. I was like, Han Solo is dead. I thought that was his dead scene.
Yeah.
That's why we have Lando say, no, he's alive and in perfect hibernation. So he's good. Boba Fett takes Han because he's collecting that bounty.
He does. He wants his cash.
Yep.
Credits.
And then make sure Skywalker find his way here. Calrissian, take the princess of the Wookiee to my ship. No, you said that that we're going to stay here. I'm altering the deal. Pray I don't alter it any longer.
Always altering the deal. Uh-huh. Can't trust that guy.
No. So yes, this gets split in... This is a point in the movie that I've not mentioned, that we have two separate storylines. This is the first time, because in A New Hope, it's just one storyline.
Uh-huh. Correct.
Everybody's united. And in Empire, Luke is on his own journey, and then you have the rest of the cast doing their journey.
Uh-huh. Correct.
Which, again, I think in Last Jedi, that's what they tried to do. But they tried to do that with three people instead of two at the most.
Yeah, they tried to tell too many stories in one area.
Yeah, and these two separate storylines are converging in Bespin. So everything has been leading up to Bespin. You know, they're taking Chewie and Leia to Vader's ship, and then Lando does a little beep boop bopping to his robo assistant Lobot. Uh-huh. And he gets the Bespin guard to take all the blasters from the stormtroopers and just put them in a closet somewhere. I don't know. And he frees Leia and Chewie. Chewie starts choking Lando. Yes. And C-3PO is the only one who's just like, hey, trust him. He's a nice guy.
I love how Leia was like, after what you did to Han, do you think they were going to trust you? Try to understand. We understand Chewie, don't you? He had no choice. He was like, I was trying to help. We don't need any of your help. Han, there's still a chance to save Han.
Oh, yeah. Not Han, Han.
Never Han. Always Han.
I always call him Han.
And then there's also Billy D. Williams. He always says 3CPO.
Does he really?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever caught
that. Yeah, seriously.
Oh my god, I don't think I've ever caught that.
He literally does not give a shit. And it's great. He can get away with it because he's Billy D. Williams. He's the Colt 45 guy.
He is. Huh. Now I have to go check that. I never noticed that.
And then he says that they're in the East platform. And then we cut into Boba Fett where they pulled Captain Solo in the cargo hold.
Yep.
It's the one of three lines that he says in the entire trilogy. Yep.
100%. Yes, it is. I have that written down.
And they're too late to save Han. And they're fighting off stormtroopers while this is happening. And they're trying to get back to the Falcon.
Mm-hmm.
But Lando also, being a good guy, he warns the citizens. He's like, the Empire's taking control. Everybody stay at home, hunker down. It's very dangerous right now.
Where
it's getting taken care of.
Wear a face mask.
Yeah, wear a mask.
Wear a mask. Well, then again, it is a mining, a gas mining guild.
What kind of gas?
Oh shit! It's not moisture, of course. Not like in Tatooine. Oh man! Do you know it?
Yeah. You want the first letter?
Yeah.
E.
God, I need to impress my.
You've impressed me with a couple things, so.
Like knowing certain names.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question.
You give up? Ooh.
There's a name for that gas?
There's a name for everything.
Laughing gas?
No, not laughing gas.
I don't know.
You give up? Yep. Billy?
Yeah, I give up too.
Tabana gas.
Tabana.
Oh, cool name.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So Luke arrives and he sees Boba Fett taking Han to the Slave One. And he sees Leia and Chewie being dragged off, and Leia just shouts, "Luke, it's a trap!
It's a trap!"
He doesn't care. And he's using his blaster. You know, he kills a couple of stormtroopers, of course. And Luke ends up in the carbonite freezing room with Vader there. And then we get the best showdown, or one of the best showdowns in Star Wars history. Wait.
The Force is with you, you're Skywalker, but you're not a Jedi yet.
And the fight choreography has improved quite a bit.
Yes, much more than Darth Vader just standing around killing Obi-Wan.
Yep.
Yes. But everything about the lightsaber battles, I told this in the last Star Wars episode, it's not the battles themselves, it's everything behind it.
Yes, the lines.
And we know everything behind it. Mm-hmm. How Vader has antagonized Luke. And he is the embodiment of evil. He killed Obi-Wan. He believes that he killed his father. So Luke has every right to hate Darth Vader.
100%.
And Darth Vader wants to seduce Luke to the dark side. And he sees him as a potential ally. Uh-huh. And during this fight, you know, Luke is very clearly outmatched.
Yes.
Vader has got the upper hand. He's more experienced. And he's more defensive. Luke is on the attack. He's on the offensive, which plays against him later, because later in the fight, you see how tired he gets.
Yep. And I was like, "You learn much, young one. I'm full of surprises. Your fate lies with me, Skywalker. Obi-Wan knew. Perhaps you're not as strong as the Emperor thought. Impressive. Most impressive."
I love that. Impressive.
Obi-Wan has taught you well. You have control your fear. Now release your anger. Only your hater can destroy me.
We get it. It turns into the fight goes into the city central air shaft. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's so windy in there. Uh-huh. And they fight on a bridge. Luke falls over. Vader is just like, "You're beaten. It's useless to resist. Don't let yourself be destroyed like Obi-Wan did." And you see that pisses Luke off. He's still fighting. He even manages a hit on Vader. Yep. But Vader chops his hand off. First of many hand limbs being decapitated. Or not decapitated, but just chopped off.
Yep.
And Luke loses his hand. And his lightsaber. Or his father's lightsaber. And then Vader is attempting to just bring him to the dark side. Which I believe you have the quotes for that.
I have the whole thing. "There is no escape. Don't make me destroy you. Look, you have only begun to discover your power. Join me, and when I will complete your training with a combined strength, we can end the destructive conflict and bring order to the galaxy. I'll never join you if you knew the power of the dark side. Obi-Wan never told you what happened to your father. He told me enough. He told me you'll kill him. No. Yo soy tu padre. I am your father."
And then he's just like, "It's not true. That's impossible. possible.
Search your feelings. You know it to be true.
No.
He sounds like he's taking a shit. And it's hilarious.
You can destroy the Emperor. He has foreseen it. It is your destiny. Join me, and together we can rule the galaxy as father and son.
See, and that's exactly what I'm thinking at that point. When, like I said earlier, when Vader had to have known, like, when he wanted, when the Emperor wanted Luke as his, like, new little sidekick, he was like, oh, this asshole's gonna try to take me out. And so that's when he's like, all right, well, screw this. I'm gonna try to get him to join me. So, yeah.
Also, this is a really nice moment if you think about it, because also he's being a good father. He's like, he's offering his son part of his business.
Yeah, after he cut his hand off.
Yeah, after he chopped.
That's a Mexican move. You're fucking beat the kid first, and then you made an offer. You want a candy?
But this is huge. I know it's very, very common now. We know everybody misquotes this line all the time. Everybody says, Luke, I am your father. It's no, I am your father.
Yep.
Actually.
I still.
But it's a very common, it's common knowledge now, but back then, nobody saw this coming. Absolutely nobody saw it coming. And when you think about it, what it does to the plot, it makes the stakes that much higher, because now it's all about family and it's personal.
100%.
Because even Luke, he keeps saying right after this, he goes, Ben, why didn't you tell me?
I told you what.
Yeah, why didn't you tell him?
Obi-Wan's sitting there like, fuck, I didn't think he'd find out.
Yeah. But also, it's just, it destroys Luke's world.
Yep.
Yeah.
The man that he hates the most is now the person that he's always wanted to know and love, which is his father.
Also, just to bring something that Billy loves that I always bring up with this podcast and Star Wars, this is a telenovela moment.
I would agree with you on that.
Thank you.
That is a very telenovela type thing. I will agree with you.
Like 60% soap opera.
That's how George Lucas wrote it. It's a soap opera in space.
Yeah, that it is called a space opera.
Mm-hmm.
So you are not wrong in that aspect.
Yes, and so also I wanted to ask, because everybody has a different point, Brian, because I think you may also like my age. What was your reaction to this moment as a kid when you saw it?
What the fuck? That was probably more of my reaction. Because I didn't have anyone, like, my dad didn't watch it. My mom doesn't watch it. My sister doesn't watch it. So that was kind of just all me, like, where I'm like, the fuck? No one else to talk to about it. I'm like, you see this shit happening? Like, this guy just said he's his dad. But yeah, no. I remember that being like, whoa. Didn't see that.
No, for me, it's really, really funny. I was watching it on my 20-inch TV with the VHS already included, like with the VHS machine. And, and I was watching it, and I can hear my mom like washing the dishes. And that, when that moment happened, I was like, okay, I stand up because it didn't have a remote control. I pause it, and I told my mom, Mom, he's lying, right? I was like, why do you think he's lying? I was like, because he's a robot. How did he have a kid? I was 7 years old, and I asked my first biology question.
That makes sense. How did the robot have a kid?
Yeah.
Find out later in WandaVision.
And also,
yes,
thank you, Billy. No good one. And my mom told me, I was like, they're going to explain it in the next one. I was like, okay. And then I pressed play again.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
And then Luke, instead of joining Vader, he just falls down the air shaft.
Yep.
And Vader's just like, well, shit.
Yeah,
but yes, then he just falls down the shaft and it looks like a slide at one point. Eventually, he's ejected beneath the city, because Cloud City is literally a city in the clouds. And he is holding this antenna.
Mm-hmm. Also, question for you guys both, because you read the novels and all of those things. What that mm-hmm. thing that he sees dropping off exactly when he's hanging from the antenna, is that his hand?
Probably.
Probably. I always have wondered for more than 30 years since I saw it.
I know.
You're old.
Shut up.
I know. Excuse you. You're a baby. That's the difference. Uh-huh.
Respect your elders, Billy.
Exactly. I know in they recently did a comic where that basically kind of like explained this whole moment. Mm. I haven't read it yet. It even shows like who supposedly caught his lightsaber and all that nonsense. So
interesting.
Yeah,
I saw that too. But yes, Luke is hanging on for dear life, and he lost his right hand, and he's right-handed, so that's got to be even more difficult.
Can I masturbate?
Dick move, Vader.
Oh,
dick
God.
Move, Vader.
Dick move, Vader.
Yes.
And he reaches out to the Force unknowingly to Leia. It's the first indication that Leia is Force-sensitive.
Actually, you're wrong. He does not reach out to Leia.
No, he reaches to Obi-Wan.
Yes. Obi-Wan, but Obi-Wan earlier had said, if you choose to face Vader, you have to do it alone. I can't interfere. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he chooses to go, he says Ben's name first, then he's like, oh fuck, that's right.
That's true. And then he goes, Leia. Yeah.
He's like, oh shit, that guy said he wasn't gonna help me.
Leia, hear me.
And the Falcon is almost out of Cloud City, but we see Leia, she just knows Luke is in trouble, and she knows where he's at.
Yep.
First indication that she's Force sensitive.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody is, she's just like, we gotta go back for Luke. And Lando's just like, you crazy? Totally justifiable answer, because you have the Empire on your back.
100%.
But they go back for Luke. They get him into the Falcon, and they're still getting chased by the Empire, also, so they gotta haul ass.
And little thing, because Lando opens the hatch to catch Luke. If I was Luke, I know that I'm bleeding. I just lost my arm. I just got a big reveal. And I'm like, and I see.
Well, no, he's not bleeding because it immediately cauterizes the wound.
Okay, yeah, I know. But and then I'll sees this guy. I was like, who the fuck is that guy? I'm not gonna go there. Who's that guy?
Yeah. Oh goodness. Yeah, I will say this scene always gives me like anxiety at the fact that he's just hanging above like nothing.
Yes.
He's literally going to fall to like a planet, and it just literally like makes me panic. Like, I'm just like, okay, that's too high. You're too high up right now.
Yeah, but we know who also really did that dive of like going into nothing. Han Solo.
Of course. Yeah.
Don't remind me. So they make it off the planet, and they're still being chased by the Star Destroyers and stuff. And Luke, and no, not Luke, Vader reaches out telepathically to Luke.
Mm-hmm.
And he just goes, Luke. He goes, Father. Yes. Son, come join me. And again, then he just goes, Ben, why didn't you tell me? And Leia, you know, is there to put a little blanket on him and everything, and they kiss briefly for a minute. It's weird.
More incest.
They're trying to go into hyperspace now because Lando's people supposedly fixed it, but it's not working.
Yep.
But we did learn on the Star Destroyer that the Empire sabotaged the hyperdrive. Uh-huh. So what happens? R2 fixes it.
Yep.
Originally, 3PO is just like, no, just let Chewie fix it. Not only does he fix the hyperdrive, he fixes 3PO.
Yep.
So he's multitasking, best astromech.
100%.
And so he fixes the hyperdrive, they get out of there. Yep. And then after that, I just love that it's just a quiet moment of Vader. He knows that they're too far gone. He can't catch them. His prize has been lost. And even the music indicates it. Everybody is just scared shitless. They're like, just get out of his way. They don't say anything. He just walks off probably to his quarters to think about it.
And I love that when Trippus was like, I'm standing here in pieces and you're having delicious and grander.
C-3PO is so overdramatic about everything.
He really is such a drama queen.
He is.
So, Luke, Leia, Chewie, and Lando, or Luke, Leia, 3PO, and R2 join up with the Rebellion fleet, and they're on a big cruiser. And Luke is getting a new prosthetic robotic hand, because, of course. And Lando and Chewie are piloting the Falcon. They're going to go to Tatooine, because they know that's where Jabba the Hutt is. And the weirdest thing, why is Lando wearing Han's clothes?
Yeah.
It's always bugged me. Seriously, I've watched the movie many times, and I don't know why he's wearing Han's clothes.
Even Family Guy brings it up.
Yeah, even Family Guy, they're like, seriously, watch the movie. It actually happens. It's the weirdest thing, but it's true. Yeah. It's the only thing that bugs me is that Lando is suddenly, he's out of the cape. We know he loves capes. I don't get it, but Luke is just like, all right, guys, may the Force be with you.
Just wanted to get the full experience of being Han Solo.
Yeah, or Billy Wade. You just acknowledged that Harrison Ford wanted out of the franchise. They're like, what if we put out Billy Dee Williams in the Han Solo clothes, maybe to try it out, like to kind of like a test for the fans. If Harrison Ford doesn't come back for the next one, maybe.
Irvin Kershner might have done that. I don't think George would have, because he'd just be like, no, Han Solo, he's going to be in the next movie. No, I won't allow it.
I mean, I'm not trying to play the race card too, but there's something a little bit different about each of them. I can't put my finger on it.
Go on, Brian, go on.
Ooh, yes.
Might have been a little bit different if all of a sudden we started calling Lando Han Solo. Just saying.
Ooh, yes. And then the music swells up. They watch the Falcon take off to Tatooine, and it ends on a cliffhanger, and that is Star Wars Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back. Da-da-da. Took 2 hours, but we did da-da-da. It. Basically did it. The length of the movie.
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much. We literally talked you through the whole movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a bitch to edit, but it will be worth it.
Oh, my God. Why are you editing it? Just throw the whole entire thing on.
You know what? Not a bad idea.
Damn it, Brian.
I got to tweak the sound.
Don't tell him, Brian.
Oh, okay. Well, then you can do that.
Well, he already told me, so joke's on you. So, yes, guys, what did you think about Empire Strikes Back? It is considered culturally, like, it's in the Library of Congress. It's considered one of the greatest sequels of all time. It's considered one of the greatest movies of all time. It's considered the greatest Star Wars movie of all time. Would you agree with all of those things? Do you agree with some of those things? What are your overall thoughts before we give it a rating?
I will agree with everything other than that it's the best Star Wars movie, because I like A New Hope better. Mm-hmm. I think that you 100% can't have this movie without that one, because this is very much the bad guys win this movie. Like, flat out, the bad guys technically win this movie. And so you kind of have to have built on the story of the first one. And if you don't have that first one, you don't really have this one. So, I mean, especially if that first one didn't do well, if you didn't have a good first movie, you don't get this one. Now, did he absolutely like take it a step above and beyond what a sequel is? Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, it's rare to have a sequel movie that people say is better than the original movie. So, yeah, I agree with all of them, except for maybe that it's the best Star Wars movie.
Cool one.
And you, Raul?
Kind of like a little like with Brian, too. Like, for me, if you ask me when I was a teenager, when I was a kid, Empire was my favorite. But then, learning about like filmmaking and the thing that I said about like seeing the documentary in 2004 of Empire of Dreams, and then learning more about like filmmaking and everything that happened during A New Hope, and then reanalyzing A New Hope, but like there's still, Disney is still like grabbing a lot of things from A New Hope and turning them into 1 billion Disney Plus shows. And so,
absolutely.
And for me, that's the thing that I love about George, that he's a really good world builder. And so
he is.
That's the, like, for me, that's why A New Hope is my favorite. But drama wise and revelations, Empire is amazing. Like, I still love this movie a lot. Like, for me, it's always going to be a test between Empire and A New Hope. If you're talking about the best Star Wars movie.
No, that's fair.
Yeah, for me, if you ask me the question, what is the best movie, the one that has the best beginning, middle, end, and tells a coherent story, I'm going to say Empire.
Okay.
Obviously, I think my favorite is A New Hope. Hell, you know what? I think my favorite also, I have a favorite for each trilogy, A New Hope, and then Revenge of the Sith, and then The Last Jedi.
Okay.
As it should be.
Yes.
And I don't know what else to say that hasn't been said. You guys put it perfectly. Everything about this movie, everything they introduce, from Yoda to Boba Fett to Bespin, Hoth, new locations, new drama in the story, new characters, everything just works. And I think a lot of that also has to do with the fact that George Lucas did not direct this movie. He wrote the story and the script, but he did not direct it because the first Star Wars movie stressed him out so much that he literally got physically sick. And he asked his directing teacher, Irvin Kershner, to direct this movie. And I think that using a more experienced and a different director worked because he brings different film techniques and brings his own spin to it.
Yeah, that's a great point.
I mean, it really works also that he had a baseline to work off of. And you get a competent director, a good script, and you get good actors, you got yourself an amazing movie.
Yeah, I mean, you nailed it. I mean, I like what you said about it's stressing him out, because that's definitely a thing. And it was smart that he was able to get someone that he trusts with his franchise, essentially, but was still able to create the foundation for him to make the movie.
So yes, if you couldn't tell, on a scale of 1 to 10, for me, 10. Clearly, it's a masterpiece. It's a masterclass in filmmaking, how to make a sequel. It's one of the most iconic movies of all time, and there's a very good reason for that. What about you guys?
I think I fall to like a 9.5 to 10 in that range. Because to me, A New Hope is perfect. There are certain points in Empire that I do kind of sometimes get like distracted or bored. Whereas A New Hope, I'm constantly like paying attention. So that's what makes me lean towards the 9.5 a little bit. But at the same time, it's a freaking perfect movie too. So between 9.5 and 10.
Yeah, I will give it a 10 too. It's like it's not A New Hope, like Brian said, but it's not an 11, but I adore this movie. This movie, I really love the balance between comedy and dark. So that's the thing that I love the most about Empire too.
All right, so that concludes possibly our longest episode of the podcast ever.
Woohoo! And
hell yeah.
Maybe.
So you can follow me on Twitter at BBusterBill. All the B's are capitalized. You can follow me on Instagram at BillyBatsonsLightning. Nothing is capitalized. You can also follow the podcast Twitter at SYNSPod and give us a review, 5-star review and like on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. You can send us a message on Anchor. Nobody's still sent us a message, which is okay. Just whoever listens, we appreciate your support so much. Even if it's one person, yeah, it means the world.
Yep.
And Raul, you plug yours and then Brian.
Yeah, you can find me as always at RaulVadoRDC on Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, Stardust, and on TikTok at RaulVadoRDC. And you, Brian?
I am B of Alicino on Instagram and Twitter, and then you can find me on YouTube on Apocaflix Movies and also A Certain Point of View on a Schmodown podcast.
Yes, thanks again to Brian Avalcino. Thank you so much for coming onto the show. Thank you for having me. We'd love to have you back, man.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome. As always, see you next summer. Dun, dun, da, dun, da, 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 dun.